Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss, so many things related to women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships, to our orgasms, to our children, and our ovaries. And we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 83 of the O Woman Podcast. And today we're going to talk about newborn babies, some of the weird, shocking, interesting facts that you might not know about newborn babies. Yesterday we talked about some of your body's pregnancy changes, and just kind of in that same vein, I wanted to talk a little bit about the reason for the pregnancy, the baby, and what happens shortly after birth. A couple facts I think have to do with birth or pregnancy. But shortly after birth, some of the weird things that no one really talks about these facts because they're strange, they're shocking, they're a little scary sounding, but they're all normal. And so I thought it'd be really fun to share some of the weird things that go on with newborn babies, those strange creatures that emerge from our uteruses. So this is probably my favorite fact of all. And I was surprised to hear this considering that babies have almost 300 bones, or I think maybe exactly 300 bones, and humans have around 200. They have way more bones. And that's because a lot of their bones are separate. They haven't fused together to form one bone. So for example, the skull is multiple bones in babies because it has to shift and adjust to come out of the uterus. But in humans, it's one, you know, it's one bone. But beyond that, I was surprised by this next fact because they have more bones. But babies have no kneecaps, which is so interesting. They just have cartilage in that spot. It doesn't form as a bone until they're around 6 months old. So that has interesting implications for crawling and, you know, figuring that out. But I was really surprised to hear that, especially because I've kind of, my kneecap has been bruised for the past few weeks. And so I'm really very aware of my patella, which is my kneecap. And so it was neat to know that babies don't even have them, so you don't have to worry about them. They only grow or turn from cartilage into bone when they're about 6 months old. Another sort of freaky fact is that babies can have boobs when they're born. Like, boobs that you, where you look at them and you think, are those boobs on a baby? Like, what is this? Why is their chest area around their nipples sort of swollen? And you can probably guess the reason for this. It's because of the hormones in the mother's body during the pregnancy. It's normal. The boobs should go away, but they're kind of in hormone withdrawal at this point because they've had so many things coursing through their body. And they're kind of coming down from, those hormones. So it's going to take them a little while for their body to adjust. Another interesting thing that I feel like people rarely want to talk about is the genital region of babies. A couple interesting facts about boy babies and girl babies. When a baby boy is born, you might look at his crotch, look at his genitals, and think, oh my God, why is it so huge? Particularly his testicles. Why are they so humongous? I remember when I was like a very young kid seeing my godmother's son, him when he was born, when he was very, very young. I remember thinking, he has like the hugest balls ever. I remember being super shocked by that. Like, why are they so humongous? Like, they're almost as big as his head. I mean, I know they weren't, but that's how I felt at the time. And the reason for that is because there's a couple reasons. It could be, that there's a fluid buildup just from the birth, just from all that's been going on in the body, and that it might flush in a few days. Either way, it's a very normal thing. So the fluid might just kind of eventually go away, and then the testicles will kind of become a normal size. Another thing that is about girl babies, which I was shocked to hear and extra interested in this, is that girl babies can have a mini period. And people kind of think of it in that way too. It's also because of the hormones. So when a baby's born, it's going through estrogen withdrawal because it was in its mom's body and there's a whole lot of estrogen in there. In the case of a girl, she's going through estrogen withdrawal. She's going to have a little mini period that is actually like a little bit of blood in the diaper. It's not going to hurt her. It's not a problem. I think, you know, if it lasts too long, if it seems particularly to be a lot, you know, that could be an issue, but you know, it's a normal thing for, some girls, not all baby girls, to have, like a little mini period. Another reason why there could be some blood in the baby's diaper is if they maybe had kind of a rough poop. They had a rough bowel movement. And this can happen just in the beginning because their body's figuring out how to work. They don't really exactly know what's going on. They're learning how to get their intestines working and to digest and things like that. So it could be have just been a rough bowel movement that maybe kind of scratched up their intestines. Chances are that's going to heal just fine. But as always, you know, if you're concerned, you go get it checked out. The next fact has to do with one of the senses of babies, their taste. So apparently when babies are born, they have fine hearing. Their hearing is about as good as an adult, and their eyesight is pretty good too, unlike a lot of animals. You know, you think about some animals, they're born with their eyes closed. Definitely not humans. Their eyes might be closed during birth, but they very quickly open and start looking around. They can recognize their mother's voice and her smell immediately. They know what's going on with that. It takes them a period of time to get used to her face shape or face shapes of family members that they trust. But their sight is pretty good. And babies have been proven to much more thoroughly enjoy looking at images that resemble human faces or images of human faces than just designs or patterns. They're kind of hardwired to see a human face and to know that they should focus on it and look at it. And if you think about it, that makes sense. It has to do with, you know, survival situation. A baby needs to be aware of what takes care of it, which is a human, and it needs to be able to focus its attention on that human. But another sense that babies have a particularly heightened awareness of is taste. So they have extra taste buds. They have 10,000. I think I wrote that down wrong. Either they have 10,000 or they have 10,000 more than adults. I don't remember which one. Sorry. But they have lots and lots of extra taste buds. They have them on the back of their mouth. They have them on the bottom of their tongue, the top of their tongue, the side of their tongue, in a lot more places than we have them. But an interesting thing about that is babies can't taste some taste. They can taste a lot of taste, but they can't taste salt until they're about 4 months old. And one of the theories behind that is because their body isn't really equipped to deal with salt in the same way that an adult's body is equipped to deal with salt. It can deal with salt through the mother's milk and things like that, but on its own, it's not equipped to deal with it. So even though it has all these extra taste buds, it's not able to taste some things, like salt, for example. And up until they're 7 months old, speaking of eating and tasting, because taste and smell are very related, about 90% or, you know, 85% of taste is related to your smell. You think about when you're sick and you eat food, it sucks because you can't taste it. You just feel like you're eating cardboard usually, and I usually feel mad. I'm like, oh, I'm so mad. I'm sick. I'd rather enjoy this food than just eat it for sustenance. But speaking of eating, babies, until they're around 7 months old, they're able to breathe and swallow at the same time. And this has to do with their development of the parts of their body that kind of operate these things. But I would love to be able to do that. They can breathe while they're nursing. So they can breathe and swallow at the same time. Crazy. It would be fantastic if I could do that. I could just eat and I would never have to stop and take breaths. You could just nonstop eat. Think about how much faster you'd be able to eat your food, which for some people might be appealing. I'm a fast eater and I love eating fast. I probably should slow down, but I can't help it sometimes. But then it might not be appealing for other people because a lot of people like to fully savor their food. How I savor it is by inhaling it, pretty much. So in this way, babies are able to inhale their breast milk that they're drinking as fast as they want to while also inhaling, which I think is a really great thing and a really good idea for keeping babies from choking, if you think about it. So that's nice. Nature does such a really good job at figuring out how to take care of its animal species. It's so cool. And the last fact I want to leave you with today has to do with another one of the senses, sort of a baby, is touch. So it has to do with their grasp. If you put your finger out to a newborn baby or, you know, a recently born baby, you feel if they choose to grab your finger, you feel how strong they are. In many cases, unless the baby maybe has health problems, but they have such a strong grip. It's unbelievable. And based on how strong their grip is and thinking about, how much weight they could hold with that grip. The comparison is that they can literally, they could, which I don't think anyone actually did this as the experiment, but they were able to do a formula and figure it out, that a baby can literally suspend its entire body weight through just grabbing, you know, if you could pick it up with your one finger and it was holding onto your finger, it would be able to suspend its whole body weight, which is so neat, and which makes me think a lot of our primate ancestors, a lot of the chimps and gorillas and things like that, whose babies cling to them and need to cling to them. You know, those mothers carry their babies around sometimes, but sometimes you've got to move around. You can't hold your baby. They've got to use all, you know, they've got to use both arms and both legs. And so it's great that a baby is able to hold on so tightly. Humans definitely don't do it in the same way. Humans are much more inclined to carry their babies or strap them to them, since we're so inventive and we've been able to create wraps and tools and things like that. But it's neat to know that a baby would be able to hold on, if it was healthy and at its peak, kind of, to probably its mother or its caretaker, with just, you know, they're just by holding on with their hands, they'd be able to support their body weight. Just another reminder about how fantastic nature is and how well it takes care of its species. And humans are part of that. I think we sometimes forget that we're animals too, but we are. And nothing reminds us more than thinking about infants and pregnancy and the way bodies change and grow and give birth and give life. It's such a fantastic thing to remind ourselves. So thanks for listening to the show today. I always love talking about pregnancy and birth and infants. It's so fun because there's so many awe-inspiring facts that you just forget about or you don't know. And it's really nice to remind yourself how fantastic nature is. So thanks for listening to the show today. As always, love talking to you guys. Check out the show on Facebook, A Woman Podcast. Check it out on iTunes. So subscribe on iTunes and go to the website, awomanpodcast.com. If you check out the tab that's episode archives, you'll find all the past episodes you might have missed. So thanks for joining me, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.